Recordings have started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 26th of November, 2014. On the call today, we have Cheryl Langdon Orr, Amr Elgdar, Tom Barrett, Chuck Gomes, J. Scott Evans, Greg Shatton, Ann Aikman Scalise, and Alan Greenberg. I show no apologies for today's conference. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Mary Wong, Barry Cobb, Amy Bivens, Steve Chan, Karen Lentz, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, J. Scott.
Thank you, Terry. This is J. Scott Evans for the record. As we often do, first I want to remind everyone to use the raising hand function that is on the top left hand of the Adobe Connect room. If you're not on Adobe Connect, if you would let us know when you want to make a comment by just letting us know you'd like to get in the queue, and you'll be remembered and brought into the discussion at the appointed time. And does anyone have a update to their statement of interest that they need to bring forward at this time? Hearing none, let's move on to our agenda. The agenda, as you can see, is listed on the far right-hand rail, you'll see there. So we've done the roll call. Now we're looking at this, the IRT principles. I think this is a document that's in front of you. It's in the center screen. For those of you that, if you have difficulty reading anything, you can control the size and everything down at that bottom rail. It has a, you can make it larger or smaller. You can also scroll on your own. So we're just going to continue our discussions from last week. I think we've had a bit of online discussion with regards to service on an IRT and whether it should be mandatory and whether there needs to be sort of mandatory representation. And I think, Chuck, if you wouldn't mind going over the comment you made on the list for the group, for those of all who may not have done, because you were chairing the particular call in which you're referencing back to, and I think Alan had a comment as well on the list. If we could just bring that forward here in our oral discussions, I'd appreciate that very much.
Sure. In listening to the NPR3 recording from last week's meeting that I missed, I heard a comment, I think it was made by Jonathan, that the IRT should be representative of the various groups. And we covered that quite a few weeks ago now, and Alan Greenberg made a comment on that, on the list that was accurate. My comment on the list, and what I'll repeat now, is that we should always encourage full representation, and IRTs being as representative as they can be. But the bottom line is that you're not going to always get good representation, nor do you always need it. And I use the IRTP, the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy, the original one back in, I don't know if it was 2003, 2004, or somewhere in that range, where we didn't really have IRTs then, but that's what it was. And most of the participants were registrars because they were the ones that were directly impacted in it and had the best operational expertise. That worked out fine. It wasn't that others couldn't participate. They could, and they were welcome. But we didn't. It really wasn't necessary, and we're all very busy, so there are going to be times when it doesn't directly impact us, when we'll probably elect not to participate. So, again, we encourage representativeness and full participation, and it's always open, but we don't need to require that IRTs be fully representative.
Okay, great. Any other comments or concerns? I said that Alan, but I believe Greg Chatton made the very same point
I think you're right.
The list as well. Okay, so I agree that that's closed out, everyone. Can I see? Oh, I'm sorry, Amr, go ahead.
Thanks, J. Scott. I think Alan's in the queue ahead of me, and Marika raised her hand before I did as well.
Oh, I'm sorry, I apologize. I had scrolled down, so we'll do Alan, Marika, then Amr.
Okay, thank you. It's Alan speaking. I just wanted to support what Chuck said, but I just got into the meeting, and I haven't read the current words in what's on the screen, so maybe it says it already. The important part is, yes, we encourage everyone to participate who wants to, but we IRTs must have expertise that may be needed to support and critique the implementation. So, you know, there may need to be explicit outreach to make sure we're covered in the disciplines that we indeed will need to do the job properly.
Right. I think 1B, Alan, this is Jay Scott from Better States, the call for IRT volunteers should clearly identify the needed areas of expertise, the scope and approximate time frame for the work, the roles of IRT participants, and the value the group is expected to bring.
Yeah.
I think your covers, your the need for areas of expertise is covered there.
Yeah, I think I'm saying something stronger than that.
Okay.
A call for participants does not always receive the necessary people. Everyone's busy. Not everyone reads things. There may be a need for explicit outreach in addition to just an open call for participants and listing
and
their expertise.
In 1C, it states, second sentence, the call for volunteers may need to reach beyond the working group members to ensure broad participation by parties directly impacted by the implementation and parties with specialized expertise needed for implementation. In some cases, additional outreach at the start or at a later stage of the IRT may be necessary to ensure that appropriate expertise is available and that directly affected parties are involved in the IRT.
I did give the caveat. I think I hadn't read the current version.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I'm just making sure that, you know, when you look, when you raise this point, if you would look that over, B and C of Roman number one, and feel if that is getting to where you want, or if you think it needs to be stronger because, you know, you're a good drafter, let us know.
No, I don't think you slavery is illegal. We cannot force people to do it.
That's
all
correct.
All we can do is make the call as explicit and targeted
yes.
as necessary, and I think that's covered as a principle. It's covered as well
okay.
as it needs to be.
Super. Thanks, Alan. I'm going to go to Marika, then Amr.
Hey, this is Marika. I just wanted to confirm that based on the comments that Chuck has made, if the group would find it helpful that we add under two Roman two IRT composition probably a number C that basically conveys that point that, you know, encourage representatives and full participation, but not require IRTs to be fully representative. That may reflect the point and really put on record as well what we mean with that. Would that be helpful?
I think it's always helpful, and Cheryl, you can speak to this as well. You know, because these are being drafted for hopefully people who are not involved in the process now. And so what you're hoping is you're giving them some guidelines and answering some questions like an FAQ. And I think it would be very good if we're as explicit as possible where we have consensus.
Yeah, I agree totally, Jay Scott, Cheryl, for the record.
Okay. Amr?
Thanks, Jay Scott. This is Amr. Yeah, let me start by saying I completely agree with Chuck and Greg's notes on lists about whether there should be IRT participation should be mandatory or not. I do wonder, though, on issues that may arise where there is a question of whether there's an emerging issue that may be a policy issue, if there's a need for a policy discussion or not. And I'm wondering if it might be prudent perhaps to stipulate that although membership in an IRT is not mandatory, for example, for working group members, but should the PDP working group chair, should his or her participation be mandatory or not in the event that they need to chair some sort of consensus call among the IRT members on whether to send a certain issue or escalate a certain issue to the GNSO Council for a possible policy discussion or not? It's just a question going around my head. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, Amr. Here's what I would say. This is Jay Scott for the record. A couple of things. One, you're finding out now, you're hearing in this group that we're working with that there's like an exhaustion that people reach. Alan and Chuck and Marika are all delving into this, all the issues that are happening with the accountability and the IANA transition. And I think that sometimes having any sort of mandatory, one, it's going to slow work down because that person may not want to participate anymore. They may think they've given their pound of flesh to that issue. I think they certainly should be asked. and but I don't think we can force it. And I think if you do that, what you do is you start putting up roadblocks to work getting done and solutions to be found. And so I just think people move on to issues. People's companies may force them to deal with issues and say, you've done that, now I need you over here. And I think you're spiraling down a dangerous rabbit hole if you do any sort of mandatory. That's my personal opinion. I see that we have an agreement from Alan. But, Amr, since I'm addressing you and you have a point, and Cheryl's agreeing to, I want you to come back to you if you have another point.
Thanks, J. Scott. Yeah, I agree as well. And it's just a question. And there is also another issue where the implementation of a certain policy may actually take place quite a while after the PDP working group has done its work, and the chair may not actually be available.
Right.
So perhaps something we could do to address this is that if a PDP working group chair is not a member of an IRT, then perhaps the IRT should elect a chair at the beginning as well. I only bring this up because previously, if I'm not mistaken, we had discussed that the GNSO council liaison would serve to perform the duties required if a consensus call is required. I don't think this is a very appropriate role for a GNSO council liaison to an IRT. And so if the working group chair is not available, then perhaps the IRT should select a chair just in the event that a policy discussion does come up.
Okay, thanks, Amr. I will point out that in this draft document we're talking about, it's the GDD representative that acts as the chair. That's how it's done. It's the staff person that would sort of drive this along. So we would have to get the chair election. I see Alan Greenberg's hand is up.
Marika was up on that.
I'm sorry. Marika, then Alan.
Yeah, this is Marika. I was going to comment indeed on Amar's point. I think, first of all, indeed, you know, what we've been talking about, the person who will be responsible for, you know, any kind of assessment of consensus, should that be needed, is actually the council liaison to the IRT. I don't think we've ever spoken on the chair of the PDP working group fulfilling that role or having any kind of requirement on that person to participate. And I shared the views that J. Scott just shared, because I think that would probably give us even less of a pool of people if they know that in addition to chairing a PDP working group, which is sometimes a commitment of, you know, over 2 years, they would also have to chair the IRT or take a lead role in there. I think some people may think twice before they would sign up for that. So I would be very hesitant to go down that path, although their participation should, of course, be encouraged, because they will have invaluable knowledge on the PDP and the policy recommendations and the intent thereof. On the council liaison function and the chair, I think J. Scott, you already stated it as well. The idea is that the liaison would only come in those situations where there is a need to have a kind of assessment where things are. And I think
right.
We're assuming that is really in exceptional cases. I think it would be very awkward to actually formally appoint a chair. As you said, you know, it's the GDD staff that will be leading those meetings, and at least from my experience to date, you know, they do a really good job at that. And so I think it would be very awkward if you would also appoint a chair in the IRT where there's no real role for that person. And as I said, participation seems to vary quite a lot in IRTs. It's not a real formal structure, and people seem to chime in more if they have issues that they are specifically interested in or want to comment on. But if things are going as, you know, they're happy with it, they don't really seem to care too much, at least from what I've seen so far. So just wanted to put it on the record, and as you said as well, that is, you know, I think explained towards the end of the document where I think it talks about the role of the council liaison. I think that's in, where are we, 5E.
Okay. I'm going to go to Alan Greenberg and then Greg Chatton. But first I just want to say, Alan, I saw your note in the chat. You know, asking questions and getting your concerns addressed, even if they're in the text, in no way means that you've not been an active participant. And I hope in no way did I mean to make you feel like you shouldn't have asked your questions, because I do want you to ask questions. I think everyone wants you to feel comfortable in your representation of your group, and we're glad for your questions, even if they're here, because we know everyone's very busy. And now you can go ahead with your question or comment.
Thank you, J. Scott. No, I didn't feel you targeted me at all. I was just apologizing, because I do like to make sure when I speak I actually have something to say that adds something to the conversation. Two things. number one, on requiring the chair of the PDP to continue on, I agree completely with Marika. You know, after a 2 or 3 year effort to know you've signed on for perhaps another 2 year effort for the IRT, which it can be, is a bit too much. That being said, a chair of a PDP has made an incredible investment in their own time, energy, and I don't even know what, karma, perhaps. That investment is huge, and they have a vested interest in seeing that it's implemented properly. So I think you're going to find most chairs, unless they've switched to a different industry altogether, are likely to want to participate, but mandating it is a different matter. The second thing is with regard to naming a chair or some other title for the volunteer side of an IRT, we're just learning. And if we find out in the next couple of years as we're going forward that we really need someone to lead the effort or to, you know, take polls of the user side and make recommendations, we can go back and change these rules. Let's not invent process that we don't know we need at this point. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Greg. I mean, Alan. Now I'm thinking ahead of myself. Greg?
Thanks, Jay Scott. Greg Chatton, for the record. I think Alan said a lot of what I wanted to say, but I just think that in looking at now at 5E, I think there is, you know, recognition that, you know, chairs perform, you know, multiple tasks, and actually having been my very first ICANN experience was with Chuck as chair, and I've seen a lot of, you know, great chairing over the years, and there's not only is there the kind of facilitation coordination, but there's also kind of the drawing out of consensus and the kind of smoothing of relationships and just kind of getting things to gel, kind of alchemy of it all. I'm not sure how much of that is needed in the IRT. I think the facilitation coordination role can be played perfectly well by staff. You know, maybe it's when that the alchemy part of the role comes in. Maybe the GDD, the GNSO liaison can perform that role. And as Alan said, if it becomes something that is more than that, maybe there's an indication that there's a policy issue that needs to be referred back up, or maybe it's just an indication that the implementation here is one that raises a lot of issues, and somebody might need to step forward with that. But that could be something. I don't know if we want to say it here or just implicitly within each IRT, if they felt the need, if, for instance, the GNSO Council liaison could not kind of embroil themselves to that level that a chair needs to be embroiled, we can leave it open either implicitly or explicitly in here that they, you know, could choose a stakeholder chair if necessary. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Let me go over here. I think we next have Tom, and then Marika.
Hi, Jay Scott. I have a question regarding it's really about the composition of the IRT, and there are certainly going to be stakeholder groups whose lack of participation may impact an IRT. So although we don't want to make any participation mandatory, and it might be nice to have a participant from the original PDP, we may want to have some language saying if a significant stakeholder does not have representation on the IRT, then some additional efforts may be warranted to find someone to represent that stakeholder group.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. I'm going to go with Marika and then Alan.
Yeah, this is Marika. On Tom's point, please see, I put 1A, but it should actually be 1E, which I think talks to that point of making sure that stakeholders directly impacted, you know, additional efforts may need to be taken. The point that I actually had my hand up for was in response to Greg. I think that probably is an issue where, and maybe that's something indeed we want to spell out, if, you know, if the IRT is of the view or for some reason the liaison cannot perform that function, I think it's for the IRT then to go back to the genius or council and escalate that issue. Although I shouldn't use escalate, I've seen in the chat, not a good term. But you go back to the council basically saying, look, we have an issue here, liaison is AWOL, you know, what do you want us to do? Because I think as well, again, you know, in this case, the issue eventually will need to go back to the council. So I think it's really important that the liaison function is the one that performs that role. But of course, there should be a way for the IRT or for staff, for that matter, because I think, you know, staff also has a first point of contact, the liaison to discuss with, so that there's a way of raising with the genius or council if you know, there's a view that the liaison is not reachable or not doing the role that they're supposed to do. So maybe that is something we can spell out. And that may still include the council telling the group, well, we don't have anyone available to do this job, but we've seen, for example, you know, you have the PDP working group chair and that person is willing. Maybe for this occasion they can perform that role. But as I said, I would feel more comfortable if that is something that goes back to the genius or council for them to address and decide on how they want to handle that issue.
Okay, thanks, Marika. Alan?
Thank you, Alan speaking. Tom's comment is relevant, that it is conceivable that some group should be represented on the IRT and they haven't stepped forward. However, that's true in spades and probably to a much more important extent on PDPs, and we've never figured out how to really fix that. So I'm not sure we need to worry too much about it on the IRT. If we're going to put any effort into it, we need to figure out how to make sure the actual policy-setting group has adequate people from all involved and concerned parties. Thank you.
All right, so let's go down and look at the section where there were significant changes made, and that's Section 5, Roman numeral 5. Okay. I see that there's been some discussion going on in the chat box with regards to 5, is it E? So I apologize. I think I dropped the ball on redrafting this, and I'm going to need to redraft it. The escalate issue that Anne has been discussing with Mary and with Amr is only one issue. I think my comment last week was this thing is just so kludgy to read, it's a little difficult. So I think I just spaced that I was supposed to do this, and I apologize, and I'll get to it this weekend. But let's take these changes one at a time. Let's look at 5A, which reads, meetings of the IRT are scheduled by the GDD project manager in a timely manner in consultation with the members of the IRT. The GDD project manager is expected to circulate the draft agenda to the IRT at least 24 hours in advance. And we'll send out the call-in details and other relevant materials to all members of the IRT. Are there any comments, concerns about this? I see that can't see it here, but it looks like Chuck made a comment.
This is Chuck. I added the in consultation with the members of the IRT.
Okay. I see, Alan, your hand is up.
Yeah, thank you. I really don't like being so specific in this thing, saying the GDD project manager will circulate. The stuff needs to be circulated. To be blunt, we have had circumstances where the GDD project manager is perhaps not the best person to be circulating meeting invitations and things. Certainly in the case of one I'm thinking of, they have been exceedingly confusing and have caused more problems than they have fixed. And maybe somebody else should be doing that work, someone who's more used to doing the administrative type parts of that process. So I don't think our principles should be so specific as to say who should do something. We should say it needs to be done.
Okay. Any other comments? Do other people agree with that, or you find the language as it reads? It just disappeared.
Yeah, this is Rick. I'm actually going to share my screen because
I'm basically
made the edit that Alan suggested.
Well, wait, before we do that, I want to make sure we've got consensus on that. Anne does not agree with that, and Chuck's hand's up.
Yes, thank you, J. Scott. It's Anne. I don't disagree, of course, with what Alan said about his experience in IRT, but in general, I think the principle should be that somebody is responsible for circulating the materials, even if it just says, you know, GGD staff or something so that it's clear who's supposed to be getting materials out. Thank you.
Okay. Chuck?
Yeah, Chuck speaking, and I have a question for Alan because his concern would also seem to apply to the first sentence where it's making the GGD project manager the lead of it. So I'm curious what he thinks on that.
Okay, Alan, you had your hand up, and Chuck has asked you a question.
I agree completely. I missed that one. I think principals should be saying what needs to be done, and somebody on ICANN staff who owns this task needs to make sure that the principles are followed or the detailed rules that we build following the principles are followed. I don't think the principal needs to specify the body that needs to do it.
In other words, if it read, meetings of the IRT are scheduled in a time, should be scheduled in a timely manner.
Must be scheduled and drafted. Must be sent out.
Okay. The draft agenda is expected to be circulated. You don't even set by staff, Marika. I think it just needs to be circulated to the IRT at least 24 hours. Take out any assignment of who's going to do it and just make it the principle of things that need to be accomplished. Cheryl's agreeing. We got... Anne does not agree with that. I think Anne stated she believes that it should be assigned to a specific person. Yes, Alan.
Yeah. At an operational level, of course, things need to be assigned to a particular person or particular group or something to make sure they get done. This is a principle. It's not the the staff management aspect of it. So I'm not going to go, fall on my sword over this. But I really think it's misdirected to identify people in a principle when different organizations handle these things in very different ways. I mean, as an example, Marika is a superb person to help us with the drafting, but she doesn't send out the announcements of the meetings.
Right. Anne?
Yes, thanks, Jay Scott. It's Anne. I think Marika had it right the first time. She just said by GDD staff, and I certainly was not maintaining that it should be a specifically named position or person. I just think it should be clear that it's GDD staff that sends out the materials.
Okay.
And there's and Marika's first pass of that change worked perfectly for me.
Okay. So how many people, Amar agrees with that, agree with that, because we need to get this. I want to move on. So Cheryl's okay with that, so let's just put that in by GDD staff. I see Greg Shatton, Chuck, so we've got consensus. There'll be other people I cannot see. Some other people may have raised their hands, and I cannot. Or yes, I see Michael Graham has agreed, so we're doing pretty good.
Jay Scott, I have my hand up as well.
Okay, I'm sorry. And I just want to say Stephanie Perrin from the chat says it's good to name someone being responsible for project matter to always delegate. Okay. I see we have Marika. Hand up.
This is Marika. I also want to reiterate that indeed these are our principles. I think some of the more details we've seen as well in the consensus framework where we speak specifically about who has assignments for which things. So we had an issue here. I'm happy for it to be GDD staff. At the same time, I'm not really sure what I need, This is something I think that staff will assign. And it's a bit similar, and some of this language is based as well on what is in the PDP manual, for example, where I think we always talk as well about a PDP staff manager. But in reality as well, there are more people usually supporting one PDP, and there's one lead person, and that person will delegate those tasks to whoever is in that team. And it's just a question of indeed getting it done. So it's always a staff manager doing those specific roles. So I think it's a bit similar here, so if people feel more comfortable having GDD staff, I think they're looking at Karen being from the GDD team or Amy, if they have any concerns about it. I think from our perspective, whether it's in or out, it's something that will get done, and we'll take note of the guidance that is provided here.
Okay. All right. So I think we can move on from this one. Let's go to number 5B. This is Jay Scott for the record. I'm going to read the provision in. There's a presumption that all IRTs, I see there's an extraneous of there, Marika. There is a presumption that all IRTs will operate with full transparency with, at a minimum, a publicly archived mailing list and recording of all IRT calls. In the extraordinary event that the IRT should require confidentiality, the IRT is expected to conduct its meetings in accordance with the Chatham House rules, footnote, and it gives a link to a definition of Chatham House rules as the preferred option. Now, having read that aloud, that's Roman numeral 5B, but take any comments or concerns that anyone has with regards to 5B. Marika, is your hand old or new?
No, it doesn't work. I just put it up.
Okay, go ahead.
It doesn't work. Just for the record, and you know, Mary may have already pointed it out last week as well, I just want to point out that the original language that is there is exactly what is in the Junis or Working Group guidelines when they talk about the specific issue of, you know, requiring confidentiality. So I just want to make note that by changing it now, we're no longer aligned with the language that is there.
Okay. Thank you. Greg?
It's Greg Shatton. I guess I'm just a little concerned or curious about the selection of Chatham House rules. I must have missed the discussion on that, for which I apologize. You know, Chatham House rules don't just go to confidentiality. It's kind of more of a...
This says that you would only invoke Chatham House rules where you have to have... You're talking about something that's confidential. It's not
right.
Saying that that would apply to every discussion.
No, I understand that. I'm just thinking that there's not necessarily a one-to-one linkage between Chatham House rules and confidentiality.
May I?
Yes, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the record. Greg, the invocation of the Chatham House rule, singular, is something that has been used in a number of high-profile ICANN internal and external exercises, including right back to the first AGRT, so that it allows when a situation requires for a group that should be absolutely open and transparent to go in camera and to take something off the public view, that when they come back to the table and continue discussion, that there is the high level in principle in keeping with Chatham House that says whilst no attributions as to who said what are ever going to be released, so that degree of confidentiality is there, that there is a reporting back to the record on the outcomes of what has been discussed. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Cheryl. I'm going to go to Alan, and then I'm going to Marika.
Thank you. Perhaps the wording is expected to, because there are times when you need confidentiality and not report anything from a particular discussion. But I'm happy with the wording. It's sufficiently vague. It doesn't mean it's mandatory. You know, I'd prefer to see something a little bit more flexible, but I can live with what's there. Thank you.
Well, Matt, I suggest, this is Jay Scott for the record, could we say the IRT should conduct its meetings in accordance?
I would add the word normally, which says there are going to be times when that is not the appropriate answer. At least
all right.
That's my position.
Cheryl, is that a new hand?
No, it's me being silly and not putting mine down. I apologize.
Greg?
That is a new hand. I was wondering whether is encouraged rather than expected or should be in that spot.
I'm fine with that because I think that says the same thing. I can live with that anyway. It's just a general principle. Alan, can you live with that?
I can live with it. I'm not going to go to the wall on this kind of
okay.
Sorry, Jay Scott, could you just repeat that? I just got kicked out of Adobe Connect, so you may have lost the screen as well, I guess.
Yeah, so you take out is expected to and just put is encouraged to. And if you want to do it, you could put is normally encouraged to. Okay? Greg, is that a new hand? Hey, Marika, is that a new hand?
Yes, my hand was still up, but it went down as my Adobe Connect crashed. Let me see if I can share the screen back, and you should see what I've changed now.
So the IoT is normally encouraged to conduct. Go ahead.
I just wanted to note that I think the reason why this is here, as well as in the Genius of Working Group guidelines, I don't think it's as much relating to confidentiality of a conversation or a topic, but I think it's more relating to the sharing of confidential documents and information. And I think that is what has occurred, for example, I think in the, what was the name of the group again, the DNS, the name
situation where you're talking about security issues and somebody on the team wants to talk about something that's happened at their company.
Exactly.
So they can give an example to the group so the group can understand how this can affect a business, but they don't want that in the public record because their stockholders and their CEO are going to cut their head off. So I can absolutely understand, and what we're trying to do is, you know, as I explained to Amr in the chat, it's not expected this will occur, but when it arises, they need to have some sort of guidance to how they're supposed to proceed, or everything grinds to a halt while they go find an answer.
Yeah, so this is Rick, if I can just add to that. So I think that's why he specifically talks about a set of rules and procedures, because I think, for example,
right,
in the DSFA, and thanks for helping me out, I think they created a separate web page. I think people were signing a non-disclosure agreement. So I think it's
right,
more than just, you know, Chatham House rules about how we have conversations. Additional
right,
procedures or rules may need to be developed to help that conversation. So
yeah,
I don't know if we want to lose that aspect.
Okay. Stephanie? Your mic is still turned on. Oh, there you go.
Yes. I was basically going to make the same sort of point that Marika, I think, just made. And forgive me, I'm coming from having just retired from government. And if government were given an easy out like the language that you would propose there, nothing would ever be public, you know? So I think ICANN is now mature enough that they could get ready to move to the next maturity level and have some decent detailed procedures about exactly why things wouldn't be public. The example cited of commercial confidential information that shows a risk is a perfect one. And I think there should be some kind of procedure. You could even borrow from government FOIA procedures as to why things, but most boards have the same kind of thing, as to why the information wouldn't be public. But otherwise, to just leave it as kind of in principle, things should be public and sometimes Chatham House a rule ought to apply. Too vague, I think. Now, I realize that's a lot more work, but unless it's already been done somewhere.
Yeah. Okay, Alan?
Again, given these are principles, I would be happy, maybe Stephanie wouldn't, with something, subject to demonstrable needs for confidentiality for business or related reasons.
Well, Alan, I mean, not to get into too much work, but we always say in the extraordinary event, and I think that that's pretty clear.
I can live with that. I was just trying to offer alternate words.
Yeah. Stephanie, are your hands still up, or? And Marika? Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Sorry, getting off mute.
Okay.
I just made a suggestion in the chat whether people would object to adding it at the end of the sentence, and if necessary, additional rules and procedures may be developed by the IRT in coordination with staff to bring back that aspect that it may be more than just the rules around how you discuss, but it may also require additional mechanisms or tools that would, you know,
yeah,
ensure
sure,
that,
I'm
that
fine
confidential.
With, I'm fine with that. Can I see for the vote on error on check marks if people agree with that? I think Anne's got a comment. Anne?
Yes, thank you, Jay Scott. It's Anne. I pasted the Chatham House rule in the chat, and it might be helpful. You know, Amr had said, hey, what are we talking about? And so I went found it. It's pretty simple. As far as what the rule itself states, it's about not revealing identity. So I'm not sure if we're talking about a known or an unknown thing here, but citing to that rule does not seem bad in, to my mind.
Yeah. Chatham House rule basically says, and most boards of directors have this, it basically says that you can tell someone what was talked about, you just can't attribute it to anyone. So you can say there was a robust discussion about a security issue when XYZ happens, but you wouldn't say Microsoft said that they've had this problem repeatedly. You don't get that specific. You stay for sort of airplane mode, the 60,000-foot level. So, but I think Stephanie has raised some concerns, and I think that there, again, it's a trust issue, right, with how much transparency there is. And so I think adding this language that's just been added in purple at the end gives some flexibility to sort of set out some examples and some procedures that might allow the trust as we mature as an organization to come into play. That would be my perspective. Marika, is your hand up again? I see Ann, you're agreeing, Amr's agreeing. We just want to give people flexibility so that as a trust is built, we can put, you know, and say, okay, everybody's agreeing, so we're going to say we've got consensus on 5B. 5C, there were no changes made to it, so let's go to 5D, and I'm going to read it for the group, for the record. This is Jay Scott again. If there is a lack of participation resulting in a meeting being canceled and our decisions being postponed, the GDD project manager is expected to explore the reasons, parenthetical, for example, issues with the schedule of meetings, conflicts with other activities or priorities, close parenthetical, and attempt to address them, parenthetical, for example, review meeting schedule, close parenthetical, period. However, comma, should the lack of participation be reasonably deemed to be the result of IRT members seeing no specific need to attend the calls, as they are content with the direction of the implementation is going, ICANN staff can continue with the proposed implementation plan as long as, one, a notice of this effect is sent to the IRT, and two, regular updates are provided including, and I'm not sure this looks a little strange to me, including on decisions being taken, on the mailing list, and deadlines for input are clearly communicated, period. So it looks like basically this is saying, to sum up in an executive summary, this is saying that if there doesn't seem to be sufficient participation, the GD project manager is supposed to review if that's a scheduling issue or a workflow or priority issue with regards to the members. If after doing this and making a reasonable inquiry into that, nobody says anything, they're to assume that they're just happy with the way the work is going, provided that they let everyone in the team know that that's what's happening because they've had that kind of, and they're giving them regular updates on the work, the decisions they're making, and they're getting all that to the mailing list. Tom Barrett, I see your hand shooting up with such anticipation. Please come forward, sir.
Yeah, I wonder if we need to define what is meant by lack of participation. And so if you have 10 members of an IRT and only 5 showing up, can that call for meetings being canceled? Or if there are people willing to participate, can you still justify canceling meetings?
Okay. Marika has her hand up.
This is Marika. Just based on past experience, I think even if one member shows up, basically the meeting goes ahead and staff just walks through what they wanted to discuss and basically has done on record what it was that they wanted to discuss. So I don't think it's similar like, you know, with PDP working groups. If we only have one person, we say, look, this is not representative, so we're going to cancel the meeting. I think the way recent IRTs have approached it is basically, you know, the call is scheduled. You know, if one person, and I think even with no one showing up, I think we've just run through the meeting and just basically put on public record and then send it out to the mailing list saying, look, for those that weren't able to participate, you know, here you can find the recording of that session in which we've outlined where we're at and what we're, you know, asking for input on. You know, please review this, listen to it, and, you know, come back to us by X date if you have any input. So I think it's less about canceling than basically just making sure that as we proceed that indeed lack of participation is not due to other reasons than, you know, people just being happy how things are going.
Okay. Okay. Well, maybe we need to state that one of the things that we said provided that is that meetings continue to take place for the record or something to that effect, Marika. You're saying that's what's happening anyway, so we would just be codifying the reality. So we put that down as one of the provisos under one or two.
Can you just
provided.
Can you just repeat what you would like to see added?
Regular meetings are held for the public record, comma, and regular updates are provided, include, you know. So after two, yeah. So we say regular updates are provided for the public. You might say regular meetings are held for the public record. Regular updates are sent to the IRT members, something like that. Chuck, I see your hand is up. So, Mercury, hold on just in case he has a comment here.
Thanks, Jay Scott. Chuck speaking. I don't want to be unkind on this, but some members not participating are less critical than others. What we're really concerned about, if you have critical players that aren't attending, is the kind of problem we're trying to deal with. Now, I don't know if we want to even go down that path, but it's not necessarily just lack of participation by every member of the working group. There are certain ones that are more critical than others in some cases.
This is Jay Scott. I agree, Chuck, but I think at some point we can't be a parent. I mean, if you're seen as critical and they've reached out, they've checked schedules, they've done all those other things, we can't allow someone just to shut down the system because they refuse to show up.
I'm okay with that. This is Chuck. So I just wanted to point that out.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do that. I just want to say, Marika, we somehow codify that the meeting's still being held for the public record because you said that what happens if only one person shows up. You go ahead and do that. Let's just put that in there. All right, let's move on to 5E.
Jay Scott, are you still there?
I was going to say, have we lost Jay Scott? Yeah.
And this is Terry from staff. His phone line did disconnect.
Okay, this is Chuck. I'll pick up until he rejoins. Going to E. In the event of disagreement between ICANN staff and the IRT or any of its members on the implementation approach proposed by ICANN staff, the GDD project manager, in consultation with the GNSO Council liaison, if appropriate, shall exercise all reasonable efforts to resolve the disagreement. Should the disagreement prove irreconcilable, despite such efforts, the GNSO Council liaison is expected to make an assessment as to the level of consensus within the IRT or whether to escalate the issue to the GNSO Council for consideration using the standard decision-making methodology outlined in the GNSO Working Group Guidelines. If the GNSO Council liaison makes a determination that there is consensus for such escalation, the following procedure applies, and that's to be defined following working group agreement on the above operating principles. So let me stop there and open it up for discussion. Amr, you're first.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Amr. I'm not completely opposed to this approach. My only concern is a GNSO Council representative on the IRT becoming prematurely involved in an issue that hasn't been raised to the GNSO Council yet. I would personally feel easier if a regular volunteer from the working group, whether it was a previous working group chair or another volunteer selected by the IRT members, carry out this role. Well, one thought that does come to mind, apart from just the premature involvement of the council at this point, is also that a council liaison might be fairly new to any form of issue, whether it's a substantive policy issue or actual procedures and policy process. I'm sure he or she would have a lot of support from staff in carrying out any duties necessary, but council members are elected and they leave and their terms end. And I think it would be a better idea if the IRT members just picked someone who they feel confident in to carry out this role as opposed to whoever the council liaison may or may not be. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. Before I go, this is Chuck. Before I go to Marika, could you suggest how you would change the language in E? And maybe you want to think. If you want to think about that, that's okay. I can go to Marika and come back.
I could take some time to think about it, but generally, what I am suggesting is that at the beginning of when an IRT gets together at the beginning of the work, that they select someone, a member amongst themselves, especially if the original working group chair is unavailable, to carry out this role if the need arises. So it wouldn't be someone who's selected on the spot. It would be someone who is predetermined to carry out this role if any sort of policy issue comes up during the implementation.
So,
thanks, Amr. Let's go to Marika, and then I'll go to Alan.
Okay, guys, I'm back. I was talking to the phone, just running my head for about 2 minutes, not paying attention to the chat. It was like, you're not on the phone anymore. So,
Jay Scott, let me bring you up to date.
Chuck, just go ahead and keep the conversation going.
Oh, okay. All right. So we're talking about E, as you were getting ready to start and probably talk to yourself about. I read it. Amr made a question whether it should be the GNSO liaison, and Marika's next in the queue. Go ahead, Marika.
Okay.
This is Rick. I have to disagree here with Amr. I think actually, you know, the reasons he outlined are exactly why you want someone like the council liaison in that role, because you're looking for someone neutral that doesn't have a stake in the issue and is there just to make an assessment, not to rule on the substance of the issue, but really look at, you know, is there a way to resolve this issue between the groups, and if not, should be escalated, is there consensus on doing so? I think as well it's really important to factor in that IRTs do not operate like working groups. And I know working groups, we usually have, you know, big pool of people, it's obvious who is going to be active, but at least from the IRTs we've seen, it is a relatively small group, and the ones who actually show up for calls is even smaller. So I think there's a huge risk involved in having, you know, kind of chair appointed or do it on the spot, because the changes are so frequent, where I think if you make clear up front that, you know, this is the role of the liaison and the liaison is appointed by the GNSO council and will be replaced should there be a need for, or if, you know, the term expires, I think that's at least a permanent feature that will be in an IRT. And again, it doesn't mean that the liaison has to be in all the meetings. It's just someone that can be brought in and kind of in a neutral manner try to resolve any differences that may exist. And if it needs to be raised with the council, that person as well, of course, and the direct link. So I just wanted to say that for the record.
This is Chuck. Thanks, Marika. Alan, your hand was up next.
Thank you very much. I rarely disagree with Marika, but certainly I don't think you can presume the liaison has no position on any given subject. There are PDPs and therefore will be IRTs where pretty much everyone on council has a position. But I don't think that really matters. They have a responsibility to carry messages back and forth. That's what the liaison means. And Amr is right that in any given instance, the liaison may not be in a position to do the assessment. I think by adding, if we add the phrase the liaison in conjunction with other IRT members, will make an assessment. It has to be the liaison, because the liaison is the one who has access to the GNSO council list, who has speaking rights in a GNSO meeting. And yes, I know the GNSO can invite other people in exceptional circumstances, but it's got to be a council member who's carrying this message back and forth. So we can certainly, you know, that liaison can consult with other people. We can explicitly say that or just leave it implicit. but it's got to be the liaison who's carrying the messages.
This is Chuck. Thanks, Alan, for a specific suggestion. And I'll let looks like Amer wants to speak, so I'll let him speak. But everybody else, think about that change. And what I'll do next is see how many people are okay with that change. Amer, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. I think I agree with what Alan was saying, and what I'm saying is that, yes, I think the role of a GNSO council liaison should be limited to carrying messages back and forth. And so the rest of what is outlined in E should be, I think, ideally carried out by someone the IRT members select. But like I said in the chat, I'm not die hard against this. I'm not going to dish over it or anything. But I personally would feel more comfortable with someone the IRT members select over the council liaison carrying out this role. Thanks.
Thank you, Amer. Chuck again. Karen, you're up.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Karen Lentz. So I'm looking at this language, and this is probably something that can be discussed. Getting into the actual procedure, but. I think there's maybe some distinction between, disagreement on anything or disagreement on something that, does relate back to a policy recommendation or the, statement of intent or something like that, as opposed to, there's disagreement on this software versus that software. So just wanted to raise that.
Thanks, Karen. This is Chuck. Jay Scott, do you want to jump in at this point now that you've heard some of the discussion?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is just got for the record. I think Cheryl and I would testify the fact that this, the whole point of when we did the governance review and we came back was that the Policy Council, Amer, were supposed to be a manager of the process. And as part of making them responsible for managing the process, we established under the working group guidelines to have a liaison attached to each working group that would help manage that process. And that one of the things, the first line to assist a chair in that particular instance, but here just the IRT itself, is to allow the liaison to serve as a role as sort of a mediator of these things when it should go to the council. And that puts on the role of clearly gives them responsibility for managing the process. I think Alan makes the point, yes, that, in our world, people are always going to have interests. So you can't say in a vacuum that they wouldn't have an interest, but in fact they would. But I still think we need to have this mechanism there. I have no problem putting it in consultation with the IRT members so that we make sure that they're not being left out of the process. It's not a sole determination by the liaison, that it's, consultative process between everyone. But I just think it has to be taken into place. I'm going to take Amr's last comment, and then we're at the end of our hour, so I'm going to draw us to a close. Amr?
Thanks, Jay Scott, and this is Amr. Excuse me, but I kind of disagree, because I would make the distinction between the GNSO managing the process and a GNSO council liaison micromanaging a discussion or a consensus call within the IRT. The GNSO Council's role in managing the process here would be to vote on PDP working group recommendations that come and then call for after it becomes ICANN policy, call for the formation of an IRT, but that doesn't mean that the GNSO Council or a liaison appointed by them to a PDP working group or an IRT has any responsibility within that context besides carrying messages to and from the GNSO Council from that group.
Well, I will say to you that the working group guidelines, they specifically have that role. So they do have that role. That's what the working group guidelines say. It says they are the arbitrator of that, and that can be appealed. It's very specific and laid out, unless I'm misremembering. Cheryl, you'll have to remind me, but I believe they have
Your memory is perfect, Jay Scott, absolutely.
They specifically have that role. So now, whether you agree philosophically, that's
I stand corrected then. No, if that is the case, then I do stand corrected. I would have to go back and revise the working group guidelines.
Yeah, there are several steps in there. There are several, but the first is liaison. So
okay, all right, thanks. So let me get back to that and maybe come back on list with this. Thanks.
Okay. super. I'm going to bring this to a close because we're 2 minutes over. I want to thank everyone for their time. To all the North Americans, or I should, that's even not correct, because Canada has their Thanksgiving at a different time. So for all the United States citizens, whether in the U.S. or abroad, happy Thanksgiving. To all our friends from overseas, I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we will meet again next Wednesday, which is the 3rd. Chuck will be chairing that call, and we hope to move on. We're going to be sending out, I believe there's one of the manuals will be coming out at the end of this call, and that's what we hope to put a button on this at the very beginning of the call, and then move on into the manual that you will be receiving today. Is that correct, Mary and Marika? They will be getting the manual we hope to discuss next Wednesday today.
Jay Scott, this is Mary. Yeah, that's correct. And actually what we'll do is probably compile all three into a single document to make it easier for folks to reference for future calls.
Okay. All right, super. Thank you all very much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
Yep.
All right, bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a great rest of your day.